Father, Lord, I thank you and I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. I thank you, Lord, because, you know, that which we have waited for is right here. And we are in this moment. God be the glory. And I believe every one of us have lived every moment of our lives to be right here at this time. God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. We declare, as always, that the entrance of your word gives light and brings in understanding to our hearts. Even so, let it be. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, people and saints of the Most High God, members of the household of walking with God, it is here. Glory to God. It is here. Today is the day that people begin to arrive at the conference site. So that means it's here. So that's officially tomorrow, but it is here, actually, as far as we know. You know, people are already on their way. We have a couple of people that are traveling. We are arriving this morning, you know, commit their ways unto the Lord's hands. It is well. It is well with them. It is well in Jesus' name. We are all so excited and we're so fired up. I am excited. I am fired up. Praise God. You know, it is what the Lord has called for and what a time to be living in. The glories of the Lord are all around us. The power of the Lord is flashing everywhere. To God be the glory. The powers of darkness are contesting, but they are losing. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, so today, you know, we're going to do a prophetic activation for the conference that is starting essentially tomorrow, but, you know, and since people are arriving today and all of that, you know, we will be activating the conference right away. Every morning, too, we'll do some activation, you know, and there are some things for you that you will need to expect. I'll tell you more about that later towards the end here. And today is going to be very brief. It'll be similar to what will happen throughout the conference. So I'm going to give you a pattern for it. Praise the Lord. So today we are here. And why are we so excited? Well, this is something that we've been talking about for months. I believe that since the beginning of this year, we announced it and we've been talking about it. And that's 8 months have already passed. Wow. 8 months have passed. And now we are here. Today is the second day of September 2026. And the conference is slated to start tomorrow. And everything that the Lord has been instructing us to do, we've been trying to do. And we are ready. And the Lord is looking down from the heavens. And he's the one that's going to determine whether we are ready. But we are willing. That's right. People shall be willing in the day of thy power. But we're willing, Lord, already. Let's see if the Lord will examine and see. You know, when you take a test, the examiner is the one that determines, you know, your state of affairs, whether you pass that exam or not. Well, you know, so Lord, here we are. You know, we've done all this stuff, prepared and so on and so forth. And we're still preparing our hearts. So you tell us, Lord, if we're ready. I pray that we'll are found to be ready for your visitation. Hallelujah. Because the Lord, he'll not come in unless we're ready. But Lord, I pray that we'll be ready. If we have found favor in your sight, like you said we have, then Lord, let us find favor in your sight that you may visit us. That's all we ask. Visit us, Lord, in this conference. When you are there, everything will change. Everything will change. Every life will change. Everything's going to change. And so, Lord, we are just asking you to visit us like that, and that you'll take pleasure in our gathering. That's what you said we should do. Go up to the mountains, you said, you know, and bring wood and come and build with me. And you said, well, I will be glorified in it and I'll take pleasure in it. And so, Lord, we've been building. We've gone to the mountain. It wasn't easy climbing up the mountain. It was even harder coming down with the wood on the mountain. Well, here we are. Accept, O Lord, this work of our hands that we are building. We're building something here with you, Lord. Accept it. Let it be a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. God said, I was smelling your assembly. Let him smell. In some assemblies, he won't smell, but in ours, by the grace of God, let him smell something. Something good. Thank you, Jesus. Accept, O Lord. And we present ourselves before you. Say the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Well, we present ourselves before the Lord. We're not the devil. He's trying to come. But that was then. This time around, I will no more give you places among these stones of fire, saith the Lord. The devil, we banish you. There is no entrance for you. Hallelujah. This work of the Lord is under new management. There's no place for the devil. Scripture says in Ephesians 4 and 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't even give him any room. So we are not giving the devil any room. We're shutting the door and kicking him out. Glory to God. These are stones of fire. Can't walk among them anymore, the Lord said. So now we are ready. To God be the glory. I want to challenge every one of us. Here's your responsibility that you're going to do throughout this conference. This is your job. I'm going to tell you right now. You know, I will read a story to you and to tell it to you with this story. Praise the Lord. Now, there was a story that the Lord gave us, many stories in the Bible. This one I will take out of Exodus chapter 17. Yeah, Exodus chapter 17. So, in this particular story, there's something going on, you know. There's a place called Massa and Meribah and all of these places where people were striving, you know, because, you know, they thought there was no water and all of that. And they murmured, you know, they thirsted for water. They murmured against Moses. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about this murmuring and stuff, you know. And people murmured against Moses. Instead of trying to help him out, just figure out, let's see if we can dig some well. Let's see if we can find something here. Let's get him behind our leader. No, they murmured. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us here and our children with thirst and our cattle? The Lord did not look kindly on that at all. So one of your first responsibilities is to not murmur. And not complain about this conference. You know, just go with the flow. You know, there are some people that complain about everything. Don't complain. Just go with the flow. It's our first conference like this. So, you know, maybe a little rough around the edges. Don't worry about that. Focus on what the Lord's going to do. That's your first responsibility. You know, so. While the prayer, the battle is going on. So this story here in Exodus 17 is exactly, you know, about that. You know, there were the Amalekites that came to fight. The top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And behold, Moses, Aaron, and Joshua the front line, and some people who were praying. That's your next responsibility. You know, you may not be the front line speaker, right? The battle may be in a jeopardy of being lost. So let's see what happens here. So when Joshua went and did as Moses commanded, there was 5 that Israel prevailed. Now, let not your hands be weary. Paul said, well, I wish that men everywhere lift up holy hands in prayer. That holding up hands is a symbol of prayer. And he was holding up his hands, praying, and so forth like that. And as long as his hands were up in prayer, and they were not weary, Joshua and Israel and to smite them. And so there were two people that noticed. They were with Moses. They noticed this pattern. You know, after a few minutes of Moses' hands being down, they lifted up his hands again. They saw that they began to win again down there. They're looking. And every time he saw, so once they figured it out, I said, ha, this is what's going on here. You know, we got to get in under this thing in prayer. That's right. You got to get in under this thing in prayer. That's your responsibility. So Moses, they saw he was getting, his hands were getting tired because he was trying to hold the rod of God up the whole time. Blood was no longer flowing up that way, getting tired. So Aaron said to one another, you know what? That's what we're going to do. Let's give him a hand here. Right hand of fellowship is what it's called. They took a stone. They said, we know you, the Lord told you to raise these hands up, but these hands are weak. So you're still going to raise them up, or we're going to give you something to sit on. See, that's how you support. You know, they said, why don't you get those hands up? They didn't say anything like that. You know, they saw that the man was getting tired. They put something under him to sit. And on top of that, you know, either one of them, you know, stood on either side, you know, Aaron on one side, her on the other side, hold up his hand so that his hands will be steady. Now, they've done two great things here. Well, actually three. First, they observed that the man needed help. They were keen in the spirit. Sometimes you got to be keen in the spirit. But if you are murmuring and complaining, you won't see what you need to see. You know, so, you know, then they said, this man needs help. They got in under him. You know, first thing is, well, let's see. He needs to continue to do this thing. We can't necessarily relieve him of that duty. He's the one the Lord called to do it. But we can help him. Well, how are we going to help him? So, well, look around. Let's find a stone. His hands got to stay up. We can't take that rod from him. He's the one that got to do it. We can help him do it. See? So, they put a stone under him, says, sit down, but keep your hands up. And even though he sat down, his hands were still weary and trying to come down. He said, well, what else can we do? Well, you stand over there, I'll stand here. Hold his hand up, and I'll hold the other hand up. That way, he'll keep the rod in position. Glory to God. Powerful story. And as they did that, together, now a trio instead of one person. You know, the glory of God came upon Joshua again because there were some forces that were praying. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and Amalek and all their people with the edge of the sword. Yeah. And the Lord said, listen to what the Lord said to Moses. This is the, you know, the moral of this story. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. You know, aside, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the sun. You know, well, this memorial, that's what the Lord said at that time. But also, let me tell you, there's a memorial that must be written in a book concerning, you know, what we learned of this and how to rehearse it in our ears. This is how we get the job done together. That's how we get it done. You guys say, well, I'm not the preacher. Well, yeah, neither was Aaron or her the preacher, you know, but they had to get in under him and support. And that's what we need from you. First thing is, no murmuring, no complaining. Don't come there with an eye to criticize. There's some people, they go to a new church, looking around. All they are looking for is what to criticize. It's the first sign of thing that doesn't look right. They're complaining, grumbling, they're out of there. You know, because they think, well, this is not, I don't like this church. Well, yeah. Maybe because you came there, you thought that everything would be perfect. No. And if you went to another church, there's a saying that says, if you leave one church because you think the church is not perfect and you go to the perfect church, the moment you arrive there, that church is no longer perfect because you just brought all your imperfection there. You know, so that's a word of wisdom right there. You know, but let's not worry about that stuff. Let's get in on that. Look, there's another story. I won't read that. I'm just going to talk about it briefly. Genesis 11, the people got together. They wanted to do something. It wasn't quite what the Lord wanted them to do. The Lord told them to scatter, you know, and, you know, replenish all over. They wanted to get in one place and build something to heaven. Wasn't quite what God wanted, and God was good. But there was a lesson out of it that we learned. And even the devil learned the same lesson. Something that God said that was a revelation. And, you know, the Lord said, look, these people, they are here now. And they are together. He said, the people are one. And they have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them. Which you have imagined to do. So there was a revelation there. That when they are one, and that Paul, he learned this thing too. And he kept telling the people, be of one mind, speak one thing, be of one heart, be united in one purpose. He was always saying all over the place. Because everybody saw and learned from what the Lord said here. The Lord said, look, these people are as one. They have one language. What they set their mind to, when they are like that, there's nothing that can be restrained from them. God said it himself. And the devil said, oh, so that's how you do it. Okay. I'm going to get in between them, you know, and make sure they are not united in anything that they want to do. Husband and wife will not be united. Families will not be united. Churches will not be united. Ministries will not be united. I'm going to bring complaint, confusion and all these things. They will never be united. So they will not be strong. A house divided against itself shall not stand. Jesus said that too. And the devil, he knew these things. You know, so let's get all that confusion out of there. God is not the author of confusion. You know, get the complaint, get the murmuring, get it out of there. Coming in there like her and Aaron. You know, they are the perfect wingman. Talk about a wingman. Yeah. The perfect wingman. They saw that, you know, you know how they do it in the military, the Air Force and so forth. You know, the guy is in the zone and there's a wingman and here and a wingman there. And they're going in there like that, you know, and they'll guide and they fight and they are there. So be that perfect wingman that will get in there and support with prayer. Praise the Lord. So we're going to do some of that today. And every morning through this conference, we'll come on in here. and we will do a prophetic activation for that day. And everybody will get in and pray together. Now, we don't need any unbelief. We don't need any discord. And so, if anybody is unbelieving, well, let them stay away. You know, they used to tell the people in those days, in fact, Gideon, when he gathered his army together, the Lord looked at them and said, well, I tell you what, you got a good number here, but, you know, that's still, they're mixed crowd. There's something that Gideon didn't see that the Lord saw. I said, look, these people, many of them are going into this thing half-heartedly. So send them away. Praise the Lord. Send them away. And how am I going to send away? How am I going to know who to send away? Well, the Lord said, well, ask any of them, anybody who's afraid. You know, if you're afraid, I mean, you've joined the battle, but somehow your mind is divided because you're not really sure. Well, he said, well, send those people home. Well, out of 32,000, 22 of them immediately went home. Immediately. So that's a large number of people who are not really sure. They got in there, but they were not sure. But they got in there. They found out. Hold on. I have some interference. I had interference there. My wife's phone was too close. So when Gideon announced that there were 22,000 that went away, I said, well, the Lord said, I got to get rid of the unbelief. So got rid of them. You know, then they looked again and then there were still too many people. Say, well, okay. So some people still that unsure, and maybe they just got married.
So just bear with us, brethren. Thank you so much for your patience. Daddy will soon come up. Thank you.
What we're going to be doing. Praise the Lord. So today we are so excited that the conference is finally starting. Finally started. Some people are on the way and we pray for the two folks that we know are already on the way today. One of our sisters coming in with a couple of her kids and another sister coming in. They're already on the way as we speak. I know the Lord will bring them on eagle's wings. Others are coming in tomorrow and so on and so forth. The conference itself will start tomorrow. And we will be at the conference site. Today, sanctified ground. Take it over for the Lord. And whether you are there physically or not, your responsibility is what I laid out today. Really two simple things. Don't complain, don't grumble. You know, even for those who are there physically, don't complain, don't grumble. You know, just be there. You know, and who knows but what the Lord might use you if you prepare yourself a vessel fit for the master's use. In a great house, in 2 Timothy, Paul said, in a great house there are many vessels, you know, some unto honor, some unto dishonor, and so forth like that. But, you know, if a man would cleanse himself from all the dishonorable things, well, then he will be a master fit for the master's use. He said, the foundation of God standeth sure. 2 Timothy 2 and 19. Having this seal, it's a two-part seal. The Lord knows them that are his. That's number one. And number two, let them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So the covenant, God has his own part. He already knows his people. Our part is make sure that we live a consecrated life. Now, in a great house, he said, there are many vessels of different kinds, gold, silver, precious stones, wood of earth, and so on. Some are there unto honor, some unto dishonor. Now, if a man purge himself from all the dishonorable things, then he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So, that's what we are doing. So today, as part of the prophetic activation, we're going to purge ourselves from grumbling, complaining, and all the like, and just focus on making ourselves useful for the Lord and finding where I can assist. You know, Aaron and Hur gave a good assist. Moses and three of them gave a good assist spiritually to Joshua. So everybody was walking in unison to get the victory. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to then invite you to pray, and then I'll tell you a few things. Father, in the name of Jesus, to God be the glory. We thank you, Lord, for this great, 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 great opportunity to finally be here. You knew about it long ago. You said the Lord declares the end from the beginning, saying, I will do all my pleasure. I will bring to pass all my counsel, and I will do all my pleasure. That's right. And it was your pleasure, Lord. You said, go up, get wood, come and build, and I will take pleasure in it. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus himself told us, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you a kingdom. We need to experience kingdom in this conference, Lord. Kingdom manifestation, kingdom expression. Lord, we're looking for it, so looking for it. The Bible says, and Jesus said it himself, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Glory to God. I pray for that hunger and that thirst in the heart of everyone to be a part of this conference, whether physically or remotely, that we will be looking for that visitation. Jesus said, if you would have known the day of your visitation and the things that pertain to your peace. But now he said, you missed it. And we don't want to miss it, Lord. God be the glory. The crane, the turtle, and all these things, they know their time. But sometimes he said, the people of the Lord don't even know the day of their visitation. And Lord, we know the day of the visitation. It's right here. The day that we have waited for is right here. And today, this morning, September 2nd, 2026, I stand in the message of the Lord to proclaim a prophetic activation over this conference. God be the glory. Say, open ye the gates. The righteous nation may go in. Well, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a nation that God has called. We are that people. So I command the gates to be opened. People are coming in. Let the gates be open. And let the flood gates also be open. Open the flood gates of heaven and let it rain. Now, we don't want the physical rain. We already had the outpouring of that here as a sign of what God is going to do. But now, let the floodgates open. Let it rain! Let it rain. Not a rain of water, but a rain of your glory, Lord. That's what we want. The glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the captivating presence of the Lord. The one where the Bible says, well, even the ministers could not even stand at times to minister because the presence was so thick. Glory to God. Let the glory come. The Lord is ready to come down in his glory, and we are ready. And we declare it prophetically open. The doors are open. The gates are open. Jesus said, I am he that openeth, and no man can shut. To God be the glory. Now, the Lord said the word, Psalm 68 and 11, and we are just declaring it. The Lord said, stand ye in the gates of the house of the Lord and proclaim that the hour is here. Praise God. And in this prayer, next, I'm going to read the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm standing in the name of the Lord. That's what a servant of the Lord does. You speak for the Lord. You know, that's what you do. So I am speaking for the Lord. And I'm going to say the words that Jesus said. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. And I say also, Father, the hour has come. You know, you said, I will glorify them and I will get them praise. And in a place where there has been a reproach that was a burden to them, in that same place will I turn it around and get them fame. These are the things that you said, Lord. So, Lord, the hour has come. Glorify thy saints. You said there will be a glorification of the church. That's right. For whom you did foreknow, them he also did call. Yeah. You predestinated them first. You called them also. You justify them and you glorify them. We want to see that glorification. The hour has come, Lord. Glorify thy saints, that thy saints also may glorify thee. With the same glory, Lord, that you said you had in the beginning that you've given unto us. Ah, if indeed, Lord, we have found grace and favor and mercy of the Lord, then Lord, the Lord, show us that grace and favor and mercy. And visit your people, Lord. Ah, even as thou hast given power to the Lord Jesus to give life unto all that come unto him, Father, Lord, and you said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you, Lord, we receive power to give life. Glory to God. Because the word of God is life. It's quick. It's a quickener. We receive that power. I say, this commandment I've received of the Lord, I declare it by the name and the word of the Lord, speaking for the Lord. Yeah. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We receive life for everyone that is coming. Say, in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord. In this place will I give life. He said, there the Lord commanded life, even the blessing and even life forevermore. A good thing when the people come together. Psalm 133. Lord, I repeat your word to you. You said when they come together in unity like that, fresh anointing oil will fall upon them from their head down to the soles of their feet. And you said you're going to command a blessing, even life forevermore. Therefore, as the Father gave life to the Son to give life to whosoever cometh to him, we receive the same commandment of the Lord, the blessing, even life forevermore, for everyone coming to the conference, either physically or remotely. Life, and that more abundantly, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, you said, glorify me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. Lord, you said the kingdom was prepared for us before the world began. Now, glorify your saints, Lord, with that kingdom that you prepared for us before the world began, which you also said it is the Father's good pleasure to give it to you. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father appointed unto you, unto me. Now therefore, Lord, having known these things, happy are we today, because we declare them back to you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Now, none of these words will fall to the ground. As the Lord has said, my words that come out of my mouth shall not return void. Well, they will prosper in anything I send it to, accomplish that which I send it to, prosper in that which I please. And the Lord said, it is my good pleasure to give you that kingdom. Come and build with me, said the Lord, and I will take pleasure in it. I'll be glorified in it. To God be the glory. God be the glory. Now, it is the glory of God to have a multitude of people. Revelation chapter 7 say, look at the glory of God. As far as the eye could see, it was the glory of God. And Jesus said, I will get them all. I will lose none of them. Now, as many as you will bring, Lord, it will be for your glory. Not unto any man. No man taketh this honor unto himself. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.